transformation. And we're going to be starting with creation, because you are God's creation. Did you know that? First and foremost, the truth that you need to hear that should rattle your bones and excite your spirit is you are created by God. You are designed purposefully, thoughtfully understood. And whatever mechanism it came to deliver you to this world, God was at the inception. You are not a mistake. You are defined by Him. He is the absolute one who designed you. And He knew what He was doing when He did it. And He knew what He wanted to do with you and how He wanted to deliver you. And not in a controlling, domineering way, but in a joyful, releasing, responsive way. And so as we talk about increase and what God might do through us in increasing us, He wants to see you live in what He has for you, which is ever increasing in its joy, in its power, and in its love. Today I feel like as I'm saying these truths, I'm not to be pull back from the way God would want to say it to you. So I may get a little bit passionate, like an old Pentecostal preacher, because it's to shake whatever lies have got on you. You know, we've got this spider who always wants to build this massive web outside of our doorway, you know, just outside. And when you walk through it, you're like, you've got it all over you. And I feel like some people have walked in today and you've got a bit of the world and the lies and the things of what's going on around. You can't quite get out. You're always itching and scratching. And it's like God just wants to blow those cobwebs away today with the truth of His love, that you are a new creation. And what we're talking about today is that God is actually wanting His people back for His purposes, for His plans, and not for anything else. So a jealous God is after your heart this morning. Spiritual growth will lead to transformation. And so God is wanting us to study this morning, open up what it is when I have got to start growing new. Maybe you can help me with that. Chich, yeah. When we're going to start growing new, because He's made us new creations, right? So we're going to grow new. We're going to actually change from one degree to another. What is it to grow new? If you've ever, like as a newborn baby is born, there's a smell of newness, isn't there? Right? Now I'm not going to talk when you get older, there's a smell of oldness, but we're not going to talk about that, right? We're going to talk about the smell of newness. Everybody likes the newness, not the oldness, right? The newness, we're growing new. We know that something in that baby, that little person, that design is ready to have the full potential known. Now, is it fully living its potential right then? No, it's totally dependent. Totally. But very fragrant and new. And so God gives this opportunity for us to start looking at what He does. All transformation is us undergoing a process of it coming inside out. Do you notice the word up there is not traditions? If it was traditions, it would mean you would do a whole lot of things to try and make something happen outside to change something inside. That is not what God does with us. He puts something in us and then He says, let's work this out in your life. Let the change come in you and then let it come out of you. Amen? And we call this spiritual transformation. And we're going to get into why. Let's read Scripture. We're going to get straight to Scripture because we need to unpack this through the Word. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14 and 16, for the love of Christ controls us. What's changed us? Take note. The love of Christ controls us. Because we have concluded this, that one has died for all, therefore all have died. And He died for all, that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for Him. That is the transforming line. That is a sign that you have been transformed. No one can live for Him without Him changing them. They'll live for themselves inherently, right? That's what He's saying. For their sake, He died and was raised. For the love of God controls us. For the love of Christ controls us. That's what brings transformation. And that is what transformation looks like. We no longer live for ourselves. Impossible without God to live for Him and not yourself. From now on, therefore, we regard no one according to the flesh, even though we once regarded Christ according to the flesh. We regard him thus no longer. We see the fleshly reality of ourselves. We look around, we're in the flesh. We're in the reality of who we are. When the disciples, Paul wrote this, they were looking and thinking about, we saw Jesus in the flesh, but we saw something else happen. He went to a cross. He died on a cross and he was raised from the dead. And then we saw him again in a whole new form. He had now conquered death. He had overcome sin. He had overcome the world. And now he was Jesus who had walked in the flesh. Now he was by the power of the Spirit, had overcome all these things. And now he was a picture of what they could become. When you're walking with someone who's overcome death, you suddenly believe you can do it. Amen? That's what Paul's writing to. But he says, he goes on further and he says, there is this glorious regeneration that is happening in you and I. Therefore, controlled by love, now controlled by love, no longer loving ourselves but loving him, this transformation has come in us. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, old smell gone. Behold, the new has come, new smell has come. You are reborn. You are refreshed. I'm trying to do a like 4D presentation here with your thinking and smelling and knowing. And through Christ, he reconciled us to himself. He didn't just say, I make you new. Be new. He pulls us in to his very self. And he says, I have given you the same ministry to others. Once I've shown you what I've done with you, I want you to show others what's possible. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Why? Because Jesus had carried it on the cross. He's looking at Jesus. Jesus has carried it all. Perfect, pure, redemption for sin, redemption, guilt goes, shame goes. He looks at Jesus. He sees all those who are in Jesus as those who are now reconciled to him. He does not count their trespass. You're in Jesus, no counting of trespass. Outside of Jesus, you got a pile of sin. That's what he's saying, just to be real. In Christ, God's reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and entrusting us the message of reconciliation. So not only does he give us a message and say, hey, I'm going to show you through the way I do this with you. It's not like you do something for me. No, I've done something for you. Come into me and now tell others about it. Then he makes us those who carry that message to be able to reconcile others. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God for our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Big picture here, but the plan is that you would become the very reflection of Jesus, the picture of the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God. That people would look at you and go, that's what God looks like. And that doesn't make me feel like I'm going to be punished. That doesn't make me feel like I'm going to be destroyed. That makes me feel like I am going to come into a relationship with God, because that person's come into that relationship. They have seen spiritual growth and now they are transformed. So maybe I can be. That's the picture of the righteousness of God. Not judgment, not punishment, not live up to my standard. That's self-righteousness. Righteousness actually lays its life down for others and makes a bridge that they can come into. And only people who are, right back to the top, controlled by his love can do that. Who have no longer got selfish desires for themselves, but a selfless, life-giving reality for God. This is a powerful scripture, isn't it? Okay, so you've all got it? We can go home. Creation. Love from God. The love that comes from God grows us, nurtures us, and transforms us to be like him, to be reflectors of him. The cross delivers the power that overcomes. The transforming power of God's love captures us. You will always be controlled by something or someone because humans are designed to worship things, to honor things, and to serve things. We were created to do that. That's what God made us to do at creation. But Romans 1 says it was when Adam and Eve turned and they started worshiping created things rather than the Creator that there became a problem. It's where we point our worship, our service, our time, our energy. We were created to do that. But the love from God is the purest love, the most powerful love, agape love, unconditional. It doesn't have a hook or a pull or an angle. It comes to evict every part of us, every part of selfishness from us and deliver selflessness to us so that it might manifest, be seen by others as the glory of God and what God looks like. We're going to look at this in a while, but it's so important from you today to know that you are loved by God, because if something else is attempting to love you, you might serve it. You might go after it. You might try to love it, and it will be too small for what God's plan for your life. If you know the love of God, you will know what love feels like. And any other form that comes towards you will be under its governance. If you know the love of God, you will have felt the real. And then anything less, you won't take, or you get the opportunity not to take. The transforming power of God, the spiritual growth that leads to a whole life transformation, it comes out, suddenly it's into our words and our ways and our walk. It looks like something. It delivers something through our lives. The verses of Galatians ring true. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under law, under the same things we were under, to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as sons. So there might be an adoption that took place. Born in this world, but now adopted into his kingdom. So the Bible uses some pictures, some illustrations, and we're just going to move through them pretty quickly, but you can look at these in your Bible. You can open up and say, what are the pictures the Bible gives? What are the parables Jesus tells? What are the things we think about? That even Romans 1 says we can look at creation and see God. All of creation carries God's influence. Now, this is a really cool picture of a butterfly. Now, they've jammed that down, probably AI'd it, and brought it down to a small... But there's a little slug hanging off of it. Sorry, caterpillar. Beautiful caterpillar. Hanging off of a branch. And there's the stage 2 chrysalis cocoon that it goes into before it's transformed into a butterfly. Have you ever seen that image? We would call that transformation. There has been a complete change of state. You've got a slug that's got a lot of legs that can't get off the ground to a beautiful butterfly with a couple of legs and massive wings. That is a transformation, would you agree? Okay. But there is a process that happens there. New life is birth. There's a reality that it is, and then it's changed, and then it becomes. And the word imitate in the word of God, actually in its root word, means to become. To become what God has called you to be. Imitate isn't just trying to act like it, tradition. It's actually becoming what God called you to become. Creation. What spiritual transformation is happening? The Holy Spirit's power is at work, and it is renewing us and enabled by faith, not by our strength, not by our abilities, not by our change. It is by faith that it transforms by the finished work of Christ. God, you've done this. God, I see what you've done on the cross. I see what you've done with your life. Would you do that in me? And that's a willingness to say, Lord, I'm willing to lay down my life to see your new life come. In all areas of my life. Transform me from the inside out. Paul says this in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. If you were to see that little cocoon, like the moment the cross entered your life, and you said, He's died. I'm going to lay my life down. He had resurrection life. I need resurrection life. This thing is not living in the fullness of its potential because it hasn't received his new creation reality. So I want that. And that's the moment where we come to Jesus. We surrender to him. Paul did that. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. See this theme. And the life I now live is in the flesh. I have by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What I'm trying to point out to you today is there's some reoccurring themes here. Loved by God, we are transformed. With faith in him, we grow and change. And the reality is that will come out in our life because we have been crucified with him. Now we are raised with him. We are different. That's come to our hearts, but it's coming into our lives. It's only a matter of time before you stop swearing. It's only a matter of time before your life starts looking different and you start seeing others. It's only a matter of time before you start walking in a different way towards others. You're not fearful. You're not under things. You're not under the law. You're not under their punishment. You're actually loving them. It's only a matter of time before the wings are out and the little legs are gone. It's only a matter of time. Imagine if someone said, no, but I like being a caterpillar. I would prefer that. It's only a matter of time before God gets hold, takes hold, and transforms. But I want to be clear, transformation must come. Transformation must come. So as much as love is from God, and it's his love through his Son, his way, it is also his transformation process that's taking place in us. Because we need to see that things need to transform completely. Another one was when Jesus was at a wedding, he changes water to wine. I mean, that's a huge transformation. We can imagine a grape being crushed and turned into a nice little wine, but Jesus changes water to wine. He just doesn't do anything where it's able to go, that was a human experience. I can logically work that out. You know, there's probably scientists who spent hours trying to work out how he changed water to wine. I just go, he changed water to wine as an image of what he does in us. They're looking at the practical. I'm just looking at the spiritual. We should be looking at the spiritual reality. What is God saying? What is he doing? Because fruit is important to God. That's what this is about. The fruit of our lives, he transforms us so that fruit comes out of us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Hang on. Jesus, you died so that we did not have to be under the law anymore, but you have given us these things which outwardly, they're all outward things, aren't they? They're all outward display of God's glory. They're all coming through us. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against these are the transforming recognition. Wow, God, I know that I can't have that peace or that joy or that without you. Whenever the created starts thinking they can, there's a problem. Another image he uses is the wheat. And he says, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot multiply. It's like Jesus came and his whole 3 years on earth was at a plan to actually lay down his life fully for humanity. And not just fully for humanity, for fully for a humanity that rejected him entirely. So that then he could receive everyone who had rejected him. Everyone. So no one's left out. But there's something about when our lives, like the wheat, are sown, unless we're actually yielded to Christ, we cannot be multiplied. But when you are yielded to Christ, multiplication comes through our lives. Many things can change. Many others can change. Many changes happen all at once. Rather than working through it and going, what's the one thing I'm going to change this week? Jesus, the one thing I'm changing this week is I'm letting you have control. Multiplied work. But again, I don't know if control is an issue, but this is one of the challenges we face. From the beginning, God's plan God's promise and God's purpose for every one of us was a union and a mystery that we had not planned on. He had planned on. God first breathed life into Adam and Eve. He breathed life into them. And he brought life into flesh, creating life in this world. Now, before that, if you go back to Genesis, if you open your Bible right to the start, Genesis, and you read 1 to 3, he creates light, and then water and land, and then plants, and he says it's pretty good. And then he creates the sun and the moon, so there is light, and he reiterates night and day, and he says, that's very good. God's just having a party, right? Just creating everything, making everything. And then he creates all the sea life. And then he creates the land for dwelling, ready for what he's going to most value, which is humans. Then he creates humans. And he puts them in all that he's done. Did he ask for their opinion? Did he ask for their viewpoint? Did he ask? He was saying, hey, it's good. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it's good, guys. This is amazing. This is phenomenal. Everything we do is good. And now we're going to put humans in it. We're pretty opinionated sometimes, aren't we, about the things that we think we're involved in. And yet God chose to make sure everything was done. Now I'm going to put you in it. Just enjoy it. And then he does the same thing in the second Genesis through Jesus. When he says, I'm going to make you a new creation. You're going to make this available to you, that you can be a new creation. I'm going to do it all for you. I'm going to set it up for you. I'm going to send my son. I'm going to remove the power of sin. I'm going to take away guilt and shame. I'm going to deliver you to a new life. And then I'm going to put you in it. And just say, just stay in it and grow in it and enjoy it and be like me. See, the scripture is very simple, really. Two Genesises. Why do we need a second Genesis? Because in the first state, we chose something else. And so we know that we are prone to do that. Even when we're put in the absolute power, peace, purpose of God, we are prone to choose something else. Because God's unconditional love never says you must. It says you can. And there's a choice for us every day to grow in the reality of what Jesus is saying and what he wants us to. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 says, he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure. And I've just made known to you the mystery of his will, that he will create everything, set up everything, not just by a feeling of love towards you, but in the way he displays it. He will create a whole planet for you, and there'll be a new planet coming, a new reality coming, a new day coming. According to his good pleasure, he purposed in Christ to put into effect when the times reach their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. Everything under Christ, everything controlled by his love, everything brought about by his will, everything brought about by faith in him. And that should be the world that we love. From the beginning, God has not changed his plan. He wants his creation living in close proximity to his will, his purpose, and his plan, because he knows that's where we behave in a completely different way. When we believe in him, there is there's a life that comes to us. We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, when we believe. But when we start to say, God, I'm in an understanding that you are my environment that I live in, suddenly transformation comes. And you're not only transferred from one kingdom to another, you now live transformed. I now live transformed. God breathed at Acts 2 upon the people by the Spirit, and they came to life in a new way. When you are born as a baby, you are brought to life in flesh in this world. But when you are born of God, you're brought to life by the Spirit. And his Spirit breathes into your spirit, and you become eternal. And he puts into effect. Don't you love those words? He puts into effect what was for the fullness of time. Not your 70, 80, 30, 10 years on earth. The fullness of time. And I just wonder, like, what happens in us as we're Christians and we believe and we're reborn is we actually take off the parameters of the world. Years and plans and, I mean, just for even those who are going through school and working it through, and sometimes there's such a determination of, what are you going to do with your life? Just say, give it to Jesus and see if they respond. Get the pressure off of you. I'm going to give my life to the one who I entrust it to because he knows what to do with it. And then whatever you become, you know it'll be to the glory of God. You know that it won't be governed by your achievements and your abilities and your striving, but the release that I was created to serve the King, to be loved by God, to never doubt that I was put here for a purpose and a plan, and now I can live in that. Let the truth set you free this morning, because the lies are many. Who you are and what God has called you to be is actually for eternity. God has a plan for you and I for eternity, not just for the next 10 minutes. He wants to be with you for eternity. You've probably got people in your life who can't be with you for 10 minutes. He wants to be with you for eternity. Who are you banking on? He can cope with me for eternity. I want to be with him. And do it loving me, not tolerating me. There is a reconciled reality in my life that I know that I'm loved by God. And therefore that pervades to my security, not insecurity. It pervades to my trust in him, not my distrust of others. It pervades to the ability to be able to walk with freedom in whatever he says, not worry about what everybody else is saying. Come on, is it hitting yet? It's freedom, friends. This is freedom. This is what starts changing when you have an eternal perspective. And God's like, I have a plan for the fullness of time and you're in it. I have you in mind. Remember what we read? All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. God's new creations are now free from the curse. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And able to worship him, commune with him, and become like him. We'll never be greater than him, but we can be in his likeness. So when Paul was encouraging the church in Colossae about putting on their new self, he's like, you're no longer selfish, so you're going to need a new self. This is amazing, isn't it? You're going to need a new self. The transformation that's happened into you, there's not only a new creation, there's a new way of living for you. Now, old habits die hard, right? I told you the other week, we were driving from south, and even though I knew the new expressway thing was open, and I even told my kids it was open, and I was going to drive down there, I still drove down the old way. Old habits die hard. The steering wheel still turned where it was going to go. Now, I didn't go, oh, God doesn't love me anymore, because I've missed it. I missed the turnoff. I go, God, because you love me, can you please map me back to the road? Now, unfortunately, if I was to have to map back, I'd have to turn around and go all the way back down and then on the road. That's what we do. We just say, God, I went down the wrong road. I need to turn around. It's humiliating to turn around. It's humility. It's humility to turn around and say, I stuffed up, but God still loves me. Oh, no, God led me back on it. You know, and you're driving through the bush and people are like, that's not God. That's not God. I'll go to the GPS. No, just turn around. Be humble. Trina's very helpful at making me humbly turn around. At what point will you continue to turn around? This is not going to lead you back onto that road. Turn around. Of course, I'm talking about car driving, you know. This is what God says we're meant to start seeing in the transforming work that he does. Now, be careful not to read this as something you've got to do. This is what he's doing. This is Paul's description of this is what it looks like when you let that transformation life out, when you let the wings out and you admit, I've no longer got the little legs, I've got the wings. All right? Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, man, that's reinforcing, isn't it? Compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you. That's ministers of reconciliation. Be like he would. Don't hold a grudge, release it. Forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so that you also must be forgiven. And above all of these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Back to this love thing. If I'm controlled by his love, everything looks different. My growing up looks different. My transformation looks different. My attitude looks different. And then he just goes on and adds these ands. I've made them, put them in bold. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is what it should look like. This is not a list of rules. This is like a recognition piece. Oh, when I'm doing that, that's when I can see the transforming work of God. I want to encourage that when I see that in other believers. When I see them walking in that. When I see them forgiving others. When I see them responding. When I see them being at peace in Christ, when I see them carrying the thankfulness of God, and when I need to remind them. Are you living at your new creation best? That'd be a different conversation around coffee downstairs, wouldn't it? We can make a little alliteration, NCB. Are you living in new creation best? Yeah, NCB. Whatever Christians like to do. Are you living that? How's your NCB going? How's your NCB key point indicators? How are you going with things? You need to lift your NCB. Things we do. The reality is God wants this to be flowing through our lives. And for those who've embraced Christ newly and freshly, be aware. It is not the traditions that will get you there. It is the transformation of Christ. Don't do things to get things. Be what Christ has called you to be, and everything will come out of you if you stay in the environment that he's called you to. So while we're waiting for heaven, what do? So we're waiting for eternity. God's coming. You know, do we just build a retirement village and wait? That would be stupid, wouldn't it? It's not what God says to do either. He says you're an ambassador of Christ. From the moment you are transformed, you've become an ambassador of Christ. Man, that's a lot to cope with, isn't it? You know, we look on TV and we see the ambassador to this and the ambassador to that. They seem very important. They've taken up a role. They are a delegate to deliver the truth and the reality and the exact representation of a nation to another nation. We've been given the ambassadorship of Christ. You are called to represent who Christ is to others. Remember, as I will, that we, being loved by God, we have received a message, and we have been commissioned in the Spirit with the power of love, not fear. The love of God now controls us, transforms us, and delivers us to others. So as an ambassador of Christ, I'm like not turning up and wondering what message I'm coming with. You know, imagine you're in the United Nations and it's like, I don't have a script, I don't have a, where's this written down? I've got it, here it is. And that's written on my heart. Because he put it in there, even though I haven't fully read it, understood it, everything about it, it's in here. And when I go to be a delegate in my workplace or my home, or I'm going to turn up and I'm ready. You have a message. You have been commissioned by his power. You are controlled by love, not fear. Wow, you're an ambassador of Christ. Isn't that amazing? Wherever you are, you're turning up and you have a message. You're ready to read it. You're ready to read the room. What does the room need? Love, his love. What does the room need? His understanding, his joy, his peace, not negotiable. We know it because we knew we needed that. And so we turn up and we deliver the message. You know what the good news is that God has done something in you. When Paul's talking to Timothy, who's getting his agent, undercover agent, ambassadorship on, he says this: remember what you've been commissioned for. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I want you to just see today that transformation all comes from the love of God invading our lives, evicting fear and punishment and guilt and shame, unceremoniously evicts them, and then releases us to be controlled by love, which causes us to then be transformed and live in all of these ways we're talking about today. The primary one is that you will have self-control. Isn't that amazing? A self-controlled person, like Jesus walking on the earth, looks peaceful, hopeful, powerful, and releasing of his love. Just think about that. An out-of-control person looks like who? Someone else. Let the love of God control us, transform us, deliver us. You have received his character, his commission, his life. That is the good news that we're talking about today. So we know what to do. We know this comes from God. We know it's from the beginning. We know that we have been delivered to this towards eternity, and we know what to do while we wait. Be our new creation best, NCB. Let God do what he wants to do in us and through us. So today, I invite you, afresh and anew, to receive the love of God. The all-powerful, all-controlling, thunder-backed. If you're at home, we've got thunder resonating in the background. God's starting point of, I want my people to live into the fullness of my power. And God might just break you free of your traditions and your habits and release you to his.